Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to another share of the Anarchy Girl. We have a special guest on tonight, which is Brian Forrester. Brian himself is doing the, he's actually in Paracas, Peru. He goes ahead and is involved in the Elongated Skulls. I'm going to actually cut to a commercial real quick, and then we're going to go live now. Hold on.
Fluoride and the pineal gland. Up until the 1990s, no research had ever been conducted to determine the impact of fluoride on the pineal gland, a small gland located between the two hemispheres of the brain that regulates the production of the hormone melatonin. Melatonin is a hormone that helps regulate the onset of puberty and helps protect the body from cell damage caused by free radicals. It is now known, thanks to the meticulous research of Dr. Jennifer Luke from the University of Surrey in England, that the pineal gland is the primary target of fluoride accumulation within the body. The soft tissue of the adult pineal gland contains more fluoride than any other soft tissue in the body, a level of fluoride capable of inhibiting enzymes, about 300 parts per million. The pineal gland also contains hard tissue, hydroxyapatite crystals, and this hard tissue accumulates up to 21,000 parts per million, which is more fluoride than any other hard tissue in the body, e.g. teeth and bone. After finding that the pineal gland is the major target for fluoride accumulation in humans, Dr. Luke conducted animal experiments to determine if the accumulated fluoride could impact the functioning of the gland, particularly the gland's regulation of melatonin. Luke summarized her human and animal findings as follows. In conclusion, the human pineal gland contains the highest concentration of fluoride in the body. Fluoride is associated with depressed pineal melatonin synthesis by prepubertal gerbils and an accelerated onset of sexual maturation in female gerbils. The result strengthens the hypothesis that the pineal has a role in the timing of the onset of puberty. Whether or not fluoride interferes with the pineal function in humans requires further investigation. In a more recent study titled Fluoride Deposition in the Aged Human Pineal Gland, the study concludes this way. In conclusion, this study presented evidence that the fluoride readily accumulates in the aged pineal. Fluoride may also accumulate in the child's pineal because significant amounts of calcification have been demonstrated in the pineals from young children. In fact, calcification of the developing enamel organs and the pineal gland occur concurrently. If fluoride does accumulate in the child's pineal, the pineolocytes will be exposed to a relatively high local concentration of fluoride. Fluoride has been associated with many other health problems, including allergies, arthritis, bone disease, cancer, dental fluorosis, gastrointestinal issues, immune system problems, kidney problems, respiratory and reproductive problems, thyroid gland issues, and tooth decay. To learn more about it, go to fluoridealert.org or fluorideaction.com. There are a number of ways to reduce or even eliminate fluoride from your water supplies. The first would be activism. Write a letter to your congressman, or to your mayor, or to your governor, or to your local municipal water supplier, and tell them that you oppose water fluoridation. Unfortunately, there are only a few methods for filtering out fluoride from our water supplies. One is reverse osmosis filtration systems for our homes. Another is similar, installing a home distilling process for our home water supplies. The method that I prefer is the gravity-based Berkey-type water filters. Number one, because it's the cheapest option, both initially and over time, as the filters can last a year or more, and they can be cleaned. It's portable, too, which means to me it's more versatile, and it's the only one that doesn't rely on your home water system working, which is important because historically, in the event of a disaster, the water supplies are usually the first system to go.
Hi, welcome back to the Anarchy Girl Show. We have an awesome special guest here, Brian Forrester. Brian was born in Rochester, Minnesota, in the USA, or the USSA, we can say, but grew up on the west coast of Canada. And at age 11, he became fascinated with the art of, am I saying that right, Brian? Haida? And the other native people, and began carving totem poles and other related art forms, learning from native teachers After completing an honors bachelor of science degree, Brian decided to take up carving and sculpture full-time at the age of 25. This included the creation of 15 full-size totem poles, dugout canoes, masks, bowls, boxes, and other native-style work. In 1995, he moved to Maui, Hawaii, and was hired as assistant project manager for the building of the 62-foot double-hull sailing canoe. Over the course of the next decade, he explored Polynesia, looking for the source of the Polynesian people. Peru became his next major area of interest, and study of the Inca culture led to his writing of his first book, The Brief History of the Incas. As of October, he has written a total of 21 books, all available in e-format, and you can also check that out on the link. He also writes for articles for Graham Hancock and was associated with the Lloyd Pai of the Star Child Project, whose geneticist has analyzing the DNA of the elongated human skulls of the Peruvian Paracas culture on his behalf. Well, welcome, Brian, to the Anarchy Girl Show. It's an honor to have you.
Oh, it's absolutely a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. I've been watching and reading up on the elongated skulls because I actually, I'm pretty versed in ancient texts, philosophy of many cultures, which is absolutely amazing that the Smithsonian hadn't come over and gave you a knock and take that evidence from you, eh?
Well, they don't really have jurisdiction here, and the Peruvian authorities are not, there's no real conspiracy stuff going on in Peru, so I'm basically free to do whatever I want.
That's absolutely amazing. Now, do you notice with the majority of these skulls that you are finding, are they mostly red-haired?
Yeah, all of the royal Paracas elongated skulls are red-haired.
Do you know if that's the same for the Egyptian mummies? Were they as well red-haired or through certain dynasties?
Yeah, some of them were red-haired and some of them were blonde-haired too.
Interesting. That's absolutely interesting. That actually leads credence to, now has anybody kind of pieced who these people were? I mean, were they not found in sacrificial sites where they were all grouped together or no?
Well, the weird thing is that there are no archaeologists studying this culture and none are studying the elongated skulls. So that's why I took the subject on, because I could find almost nothing on the internet about them. And we actually live in Paracas now, so I'm able to visit the ancient graveyards and sites where these people used to live 2,000 plus years ago. And sometimes we find artifacts and skulls and parts of mummies and things like that.
Have you ever came across a skull yet that, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of the one that was found at the sacrificial burial site in Mexico. It kind of looked pretty creepy looking. It had the teeth and the head, and it kind of, the upper jaw was kind of more protruding. It actually looked like a creature than a, have you found any strange skulls that similar just look more robust than others?
Well, the Paracas skulls are the largest human skulls in existence, or that ever existed, possibly. So most of them are the result of cranial deformation, but there are about 5% of them. I've had doctors and radiologists and dentists and nurses look at them, and they say that these are natural skulls, but they're not specifically human. They're not Homo sapiens sapiens. They're something else.
Wow. Absolutely. Now, how tall? Now, if have you found the bodies intact with them? How tall would you estimate the biggest to be at?
Well, that's a really good question, because on average, the ancient cultures of Peru, the people were reasonably small, and even in modern times, Peruvian man would be about 5'6", but the Paracas were 6 feet tall and sometimes taller.
Wow. Absolutely, absolutely amazing. What kind of artifacts are you finding with these skulls? Now, I do understand also that the palatal plates on these are completely different than a human skull. Is that not correct?
Yeah, that's one of the characteristics. We have four plates. You know, all living humans have four major plates. You have the frontal plate, the two parietal plates, and then the occipital plate in the back. And in the case of the Paracas, they only have one parietal plate. There's no suture line, which, again, medical professionals look at that and say, I don't understand how that's possible.
Yeah. And there's no way that the skull itself, that the molecular structure cannot change, you know, from a human. I mean, this cannot be a deformality, obviously, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. No, go totally go ahead.
Okay, well, the interesting thing is when you show these to medical professionals, they went to school for many years. They're experts at human anatomy. And so when they see something that doesn't fit with normal human anatomy, they say, I don't understand what that is. I don't understand why it's there. It's not the result of any disease. And since we have so many examples of them, obviously this is a genetic trait of some kind.
Yeah, wow. Of course, that's a little what academia would lead credence to or say on that behalf. But what is academia saying about the DNA non-human?
They're basically just ignoring the whole subject.
I bet. They ran out of things to even say because the Darwinian version doesn't fit in that. So it leads credence to a lot of ancient texts, which is, I find, astonishing. What do the Paracas people, their culture, say who these people were? Because I know a lot of Native Americans have story of the red-headed giants themselves. I was wondering if they shared the same stories in any way.
Well, the history behind the Paracas is that they supposedly arrived from no one knows where. They suddenly appear on the coast of Peru 3,000 years ago, and then 2,000 years ago they were invaded by what is called the Nazca culture, and the Nazca are famous for the lines and geoglyphs in this area. So it's likely that the Nazca actually eradicated the elongated skull people and took over their land. So that's basically the end of the Paracas. There are no descendants from 2,000 years ago.
Wow. Now, were there stories passed down about them? Because you know how some historians wrote about Easter Island. I don't know if anything was found over in Easter Island that would that you know of, that any elongated skulls, did any of that ever, was that ever found over there, do you know?
Yeah, actually, I went to Easter Island, and I took a scale model of one of the skulls to give as a gift to the mayor of Easter Island, and she said, "Oh, those people used to live here."
Wow! And you know the stories of some of the I believe, I don't know if they were conquistadors, but they had claimed that there were giants also on that island.
Yeah, that's right. When the first explorer Van Roggeveen got there, and he's the one who named it Easter Island. He said that there were very tall people, very short people, black-haired people, light-skinned people, blonde-haired people, red-haired people. So there's a real racial mix living there at 240 years ago.
Wow, and how do you think they came about on that island? Do you think at any way Atlantis had anything to do with this, or how Plato described Atlantis? Do you think these could have been a culture from there?
Well, it's a really complex little island, and most people think that only Polynesians lived there, but obviously there were other people too. And if you're a seafarer and you want to go from the west coast of South America into Polynesia or to Asia, then you would use Easter Island as a stopping point because it has abundant fresh water and food. And then, so it would be a stopping point for people traveling east or west. And then, of course, there would naturally be mixing of cultures. And there's also evidence that people from the Indus Valley, as in India, lived there in the distant past as well.
Wow, absolutely amazing. So even holding one of these skulls in your hand, you're actually holding something that was spoke about and talked about through many historians and through many ancient texts. I mean, that itself, I would just stand there in amazement. I probably wouldn't be able to hold it. I'd be like in shock. Because I thought so absolutely amazingly beautiful and just, you know, to lead credence to, you know, the Nephilim itself. I've always believed, and, you know, it's, but then the Sumerians speak about the Ajiji, and then they, but then again, were the children of the so-called Anunnaki or the B'nai Ha-Elohim is actually the question, which, you know, I lean kind of towards that myself, because it's just, I go by historical and ancient texts and texts in that field, and I find it, you know, it just leads you down that highway. There's no other highway to go because these are the texts. And it seems what you have there is you're holding that exactly. Now, do you know if any cultures said that these type of people were violent or, you know, It's astonishing the elongated skull because you have in Africa people are still resembling cradle headboarding for something they had saw at one time, and you're holding these skulls, and then you also have Egypt, they were also elongated, so you know the pharaohs were depicted as having elongated skulls. Now, do you know if any of the skulls or the mummies that are in Egypt are elongated or not?
There are none that are on display, but that's kind of typical of Egypt because any artifact that doesn't fit with conventional history will not be put on display. The Cairo Museum has a massive warehouse full of artifacts, and so they could very well have skeletons with elongated skulls in them, but to show them would destroy the whole story of Egyptology.
Yeah, it seems Rome has their finger in a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
100%. The more I read and look into it, it seems like Rome has their fingers in everything. So you must have been steaming at this point, which is absolutely awesome. You know, it's a history that people need to be aware of. It's a history that that obviously happened. It was spoke about. It was written about. Who were these people? Were they the children of, or were they that specifically? Because I know if you read into the Native American culture, especially the Hopi themselves, the Hopi claimed a serpent god came from the sky, and the serpent god taught their people that, you know, different things of what people consider sorceries and doing different things. And all of a sudden, something opened up and giants came out and killed, and raped the women. Now, there's two factions going on in that story because I don't think the serpent race that they're saying is the same as what opened up and let these out. But the Hopi claim that that is what happened. Now, I wonder if these are in direct relation to that story as well, because they talk about the six-fingered red-haired giant, you know? And then you have skulls that have red hair.
Well,
now, have you seen any of these that have any six fingers? Or no?
No, that we haven't found, but we had a radiologist with us, and that's the ultimate expert on human anatomy and anatomy-related diseases. And we were in a tiny museum at Lake Titicaca in Bolivia, and there we found two skeletons in there. One was a baby whose head was the size of its torso, and then there was a fully grown full skeleton with a head about twice the size of a normal human. And he simply said, those are not human beings.
Oh, wow. And wow. So when you saw these, were you like in awe? Like, wow. Because isn't the story there, didn't the people who lived there, Lake Titicaca was considered a sacred lake, what was it not, where they would drop gold in there? They believed it was some type of portal to the gods?
Yeah, there are a lot of sites around Lake Titicaca that are very mysterious and not explainable by conventional archaeology. And we're finding more and more of these elongated mummies up in that area, which is very curious.
Yes, yes. Now, I know you've been up to where they consider that what the gate of the gods, where they claim, you know, beings, they come in and out, and I guess, you know, a lot of the shamanic Inca people go ahead and place the incense at this gate itself.
Yeah, actually, I just made a video today of actually all of my quadcopter drone footage at ancient sites, and that site is called Amaramuru, and it's included in it. It's close to Lake Titicaca. Nobody knows who made it. It's like this. It's like a false recessed door in the wall of bedrock. The local people, in general, are afraid of going there, and they say that at night, sometimes they see balls of light or orbs coming out and going into it. So nobody locally goes there at night.
Now, has anybody tried to set up a camera to watch that area to see that happening?
Not as far as I know.
That's interesting. And nobody has any claims like Native Americans in certain gateway areas like they do at Skinwalker Ranch, the Gordon Ranch, in which they say Skinwalker-type beings come in and out. Are they claiming, do they ever see visually a different type of nationality or being walking around, and how do they describe what they look like?
Yeah, they some descriptions are they're light, basically light beings that look like humans and are quite tall, and they simply, you know, they're energy, and they enter and leave that portal. There are also other stories of places like that in different parts of Peru as well.
Now, do they know if this door is magnetic in any way? Do they know if you hold a compass to it, does it spin? Is there anything off with that area? Is it connected to a ley line?
Yeah, actually, it's connected to all of that. We had six very well-trained energy dowsers with us about 2 years ago, and they felt a very strong male energy going in and out of the door, and there are side channels, one on either side, and they said that's very feminine energy. Also, the material is red sandstone, so it's very high in iron oxide. So iron, of course, conducts energy and electricity.
Yeah. Absolutely, because I've always believed that the ley line grids of the earth hold, you know, these are certain ones, I guess, that double cross in the ways they do, are gates. And CERN itself has also proved that there's multiple dimensions going on, which is, I don't see, but, you know, my perception of the realm, the reality we're in is a complete prison. And, you know, if you read the ancient text, you know, I believe that if you want to consider, some people want to consider them angels, Anunnaki, or they want to call them the B'nai Ha-Elohim, a lot of people have to understand there's not always a negative faction to them, because there's good ones and there is also awful ones, according to, you know, ancient texts. But does any of the stories correlate? Has anybody met these beings? Because I wonder why they're so frightened of the area. What would make them frightened of the area?
Well, it's just I think it's programming from Catholicism that's caused that. So you've had 500 years of Native people being programmed by the Catholic Church to be afraid of things. A lot of ancient sites in Peru and Bolivia are called the Devil something. So that's locally, it's called the Devil's Doorway, and that comes directly from the Catholic Church.
I completely agree with you 100%. 100%. It's a shame. Now, have any of the Peruvian people in any of these ancient sites, have they, has anybody noticed any type of activity where they've claimed to see any type of giant or have any, you know, in certain parts of like New Guinea, if you speak to the people there, they'll claim, you know, giants are still roaming around these high mountains. I wonder if these, you know, when you listen to the Native people, they're just as credible to me than anything that's coming out of academia or any type of state project, because they all lie and everybody's in the pocket to the Vatican. But we can go on about that one. Have you had any interference with the Vatican at all?
No, actually nothing, and nothing with the Peruvian government. I'm actually the assistant director of the local museum. So when we find artifacts in the field, we take them to our museum, and they get cataloged for the government. So I think I have a pretty good relationship with them. There's nothing going on like with the way the Smithsonian suppressed all of the knowledge about giants in the U.S.
Yeah, you are, because they definitely have pulled them out of Texas and Ohio. I'm just really interested. I'm moving to Texas in less than a week, and I wanted to go out there I want to go to Martha. I want to see these lights, these same lights that are the same as what the people are claiming are coming in and out of that doorway. The Martha lights are very unexplained out there, and also the rock wall. Have you found any type of artifacts of any type of script that these people might have had? Like, what have you found anything in burials that these people had that would be kind of leading on the side of maybe who they are attached to or who they could be?
Well, yeah, because these people died out 2,000 years ago, all we have are the artifacts. There's no written hieroglyphic or code or language of that form, but they had very advanced, they had the most advanced textiles in all of the Americas. They knew the concept of the potter's wheel, and so that's, on some levels, that's what's causing a possible connection with the Middle East, because the finest textiles in general were made in the Middle East, for thousands of years. The potter's wheel was invented in the Middle East area. So that's why we're kind of leaning towards the idea that these people escaped from the Middle East, that they were being oppressed, and they eventually made their way to the coast of Peru.
Wow. Wow, yeah. Now, have you figured out any type of migratory path from, since they've been found in Mexico and then they've been found, you know, Easter Island and among different areas? Have you pieced together any type of migratory path that we can follow to maybe who they were?
I'm starting to, because also red hair originates in the Middle East, too. There are people who are indigenous to Iran, Iraq, and Afghanistan who have red hair and even blonde hair and blue eyes and green eyes.
Yeah.
So the pattern I'm kind of looking at is maybe through the Red Sea into the Indian Ocean and then gradually moving eastwards through Indonesia, maybe the Philippines, and then Polynesia, Easter Island, and then the coast of Peru.
Now, do you know if India has seen any of these type of skulls, or would India themselves hide them? Because they're a pretty open culture. I would think that, I wonder if they went that way at all or no.
Well, there are depictions in some of the sculpture of people with elongated heads. I haven't been to India, so I haven't been able to look at it directly, but I would like to go at some point because we also find evidence of lost ancient high technology in India too, which might back up the whole ancient texts of that country in terms of vimanas and all sorts of things like that.
I completely agree, yeah. And you know, I don't know if you've seen a lot of the underwater cities that they are uncovering now that are all over. I know India had uncovered, you know, there's even in Egypt, there's, you know, it seems that a lot of cities went underwater. Are they finding any type of elongated skeletons, you know, while they're investigating underneath these cities?
Not that I know of, but also a lot of countries are banning anyone's ability to research. There have been many cities on the south coast of India that have been found underwater, but the Indian government won't allow anyone to dive. There are cities in the Mediterranean that are underwater that no one's allowed to access. So that's all part of the global cover-up of history.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now, what's the most fascinating thing you have found out there with the elongated skulls themselves? I got to get out there, Brian. I have to get out to Peru. I've been itching to do this for some time. I just want to backpack everything from Machu Picchu all over. I'm going to bring Ty with me. I won't want to leave.
Yeah, that's what that's why I'm here. It's just, a lot of people feel that way. It's Peru's a very heart-based country in terms of the people. And so a lot of people fall in love with Peru and either come back multiple times or, in some cases, like me, decide to live here.
Yeah. Now, aren't you heading some tours out there?
Yeah. Yeah, my wife and I do tours here, Egypt, Easter Island.
Because I'm actually a hypnotherapist out of the Edgar Casey Center in Virginia Beach, and I know that the Edgar Casey Center themselves goes ahead and does tours themselves, but it's not as in depth as yours. Your tours are, I mean, you take it right down to the nitty gritty, and you show all the spots. I mean, I saw a small thing of what you're doing. It's on Hidden Inca Tours, is it not?
That's right.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating, and what you're doing, Brian, is absolutely amazing. I mean, you can't live a richer life than doing what you love. You know,
that's true.
And you're breaking everything. You're breaking the mold of everything. You're bringing new things to light that people cannot explain. But some of us who actually understand and read the ancient texts, I think we lean to know who they are, or you know, around about who they are. But I find it absolutely. I find it absolutely amazing. I mean, I don't know if you've read the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. Have you not?
I have, yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, I find it makes me wonder because he actually speaks in a text where he seems to be Enoch in a way. If you
mm-hmm.
read, you know, does anybody know how long these people lived with the elongated skulls? With their brow ridge, or is their brow ridge pretty defined or no?
Yeah, in some cases, it's the brow ridge is quite pronounced.
And the baby one you found, was that not a child that had the had teeth already?
Going back to the story about Lake Titicaca, with the radiologist, he was just, you know, he was amazed at what we were looking at. So I didn't ask him many questions that day, but the next morning at breakfast, he came up and he said, I'm 90% sure that that was mother and baby, and they both died during childbirth. So that means that the baby was going to be born with a very long head.
Wow. So that actually, now do you think that could be linked to the story where Native Americans also claim that beings, not saying that these particular races were all that, but their mothers would die in childbirth because the children would be so big from the giants that they would split. Could that be a case, or do you think she just died during the childbirth itself? It was just a you know, something that had happened. It's so interesting.
Well, he thought it was a very difficult birth that was going to happen. He said these are not Homo sapiens sapiens. There's something else. But until we do more DNA testing, we can't say too much more about them. But if, you know, now we have the results from 3 skulls. But if we have the results from 20, then it becomes scientifically very valid, and we can expand our theory as to the origins of these people. And other aspects of them.
Now, I mean, it's got to be so amazing and so fascinating to actually, I mean, like, you're literally the Indiana Jones out there. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, how super excited do you get when you find a new one, or it's got an artifact with it? Now, wasn't a slingshot found amongst, you know, these? Have you found any that grave robbers have not gotten into or tore up?
Yeah, I know the location of some undisturbed tombs, and I'm not telling anybody about them. Even the government, I'm not telling about them, because I believe they should rest in peace.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Now, have you found any type of interesting artifacts of the ones that have not been disturbed?
Actually, more and more evidence of the use of the potter's wheel, because the pottery is thin, almost like china, and then the odd other things. The textiles are super complicated, and they're so complex and so finely done that something similar to that has not been possible until the Industrial Revolution. So how these people were able to do this work, I have no idea. Archaeologists admit they don't know where they come from. The hair has been analyzed, and it's much thinner than Native American hair. It's naturally red. It's wavy. So these people had ancestry that wasn't Native American.
Wow. That's absolutely astonishing. Now, I don't know if you keep up with a guy named Brian Stefor or Stefor, but he's been doing some type of links with the blonde hair, blue eyed people that they're out in. What's that island? But I know in Syria, there's a whole blonde hair, blue eyed people who are, I believe, they're Zoroastrian. Yeah, and they claim to have been there long before they claim the Persians came in and took over. So,
that's,
you know,
that's
these people.
Likely.
What?
That's highly likely, because a lot of that has been going on. People think that that a certain race of people have always been somewhere, and it's not true. Usually, you have somebody invading someone else's territory and either absorbing or wiping out the older people. So there are even stories here in the highlands of Peru that there are people with very light skin, blonde hair and blue eyes, that live very high in the mountains and never have contact with the local native people, and that they've been there for thousands of years.
Yeah, that's what these tribes are claiming as well in Syria, and even some in Iraq. But they also follow their religion is Zoroastrian, which is very it's actually you know, it's very interesting. It's absolutely interesting, and you're right, because they do stick together. They don't go outside. And some of them have linked them actually to the Therapeutai tribes, like certain different tribes. I find, and it's very cool because I'm naturally blonde hair, blue eyed, but I'm Scandinavian. Now, I understand the Norse mythology too, which is, you know, if you read the Norse mythology about, you know, it's kind of strange where you have Sumerian, you have Enki and Enlil. Then you have the Norse, which is Loki and Thor. And then you have their father, which is Odin. And then you have, you know, I believe the father, the higher god, which we would assume in Sumerian would be El. And then you have the Christian religion, who has Jesus and Satan. I know a lot of the Gnostic tests, the text of the Pista Sophia was to kind of twist and say, you know, you are the god, you are the female, and you are the male all in one. But then these other cultures are claiming different. They're claiming these are two different type of entities. So now if you were to take that and you were to go into, let's say, the biblical ancient text about the Nephilim, you know, or the giants were on the earth in those days and also afterwards, were the sons of God, came into the daughters of men and bore children, but, you know, bore children to them. I wonder, you know, for me, my opinion, because I don't have any facts or, you know, I'm not as studied in the skulls as you are, but it leads me to a point that these are the children of, or maybe a direct lineage to the Nephilim, and is that why the Pope himself wears a mitre hat? But is the mitre hat itself connected to the Dogon tribe? You know, the how they believed in the fish god, which would be what? Poseidon, which would be Enlil, I believe it was. The god of the waters was Enlil.
Mm-hmm.
So and that would be equivalent to our Satan today, or you know, because you have Enki and you had Enlil, and Enki was, both of them, I believe, were immoral. An aspect of messing with mankind, but do you think some type of manipulation went on in the past, or could have it been, or do you believe
yes.
This line is still going, but we're just not elongated?
I think a lot of that's possible. My university degree was in biology, so I studied the Darwinian evolutionary theory for 4 years, but we were being brainwashed. we were being brainwashed with it. You had to accept 100% of it, or you were told you won't continue, or you know, you won't advance. So I said, well, what happens if I have some problems of some of the aspects of Darwinian evolution? And my professor said, then you won't have a career. So that's when I quit, because I will not be dictated to as to what I am to learn or not. That's just ridiculous.
That's awesome, Brian. A true anarchist right there. You're not going to be told what you should or should not believe. You're going to find it on your own.
Exactly.
And I think that benefits you. Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely amazing. How did they feel? Now, have you heard from any of your colleagues or professors? Because they obviously know what you're doing. And I bet they sit in awe, like, look at Brian, you know?
No, I've lost touch with all of them, and I have connections with academia, but I don't need their approval to do anything. So all of my study is to present the information to the 7 billion people who live on the planet, not go through some peer group or some academy or university to give me a rubber stamp. We're way beyond that now. We're a global, you know, we're a global family of humanity that on a great level wants to share with one another, and everyone has an equal right to have everything in terms of knowledge and experience.
Yeah. And then we also have to live in a reality where the victors seem to write the history for us. So a lot of it gets erased, and we only have one point of view when, you know, when there's many points of view that are going on. I think that a lot of, of course, I'm going to go ahead and say that, you know, Catholicism had a lot to do with destroying many cultures, many, a lot of our history. Now, what it's astonishing that these skulls and the DNA testing on them. And as soon as I heard, you know, that the testing was done on them, I was smiling. Like, I knew. Like, I knew they were not going to come back fully human. And what was your, like, what was your take on that when you got those results back? You know,
well,
were you shocked?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Also, we, as part of the process, we had found the skull or the mummified skull of a baby that had died at about 20 months old, and it was wrapped up in very ornate royal textile. So we weren't allowed to touch it or unwrap it until we found a Peruvian archaeologist who volunteered to do that. And when he did, we filmed the whole thing, and it turned out that this baby was born with strawberry blonde hair, and its DNA comes from Europe/the Middle East. So that was quite an amazing finding. Again, we can't draw huge conclusions until we do the next big set of tests, and that'll give us much more data to work with, and we can compare all 15 or 20 of them and see if they come from a common origin or not.
Yeah, yeah. Now you did work with Lloyd Pye. Now what was Lloyd Pye not only did the Star Child skull, but he was also involved in what people consider with the mythical Bigfoot. Is that not true?
Well, he was actually an expert on hominids. So he was an expert on Homo sapiens sapiens and Neanderthal and Cro-Magnon, etc. But he was not accepted by academics because he didn't have a PhD. But he independently found some amazing information. For example, we have 23 pairs of chromosomes, but all apes have 24. So he was questioning, how can evolution do that? How can you go from a being that has 24 chromosomes to 23? And he found out that it's possible that two of those chromosomes could have literally been turned off.
Yeah, our DNA is absolutely fascinating itself. A lot of our, a lot of our DNA is not even turned on. It's like somebody hit the switch and it stopped, and I believe, you know, that's why aging is the way it is. Thing had, I did a few years ago, I was keeping up with the Lloyd Pye project, and I think what he accomplished and what he did for not having a PhD, absolutely fascinating and absolutely amazing. And it must have been an absolute honor to have worked on that project as well. Doing all the research that he did, I found that, you know, he was absolutely amazing. If you read into the, has anybody ever pieced together, if you read into the Hebrew text, the Hebrews consider what a demon is considered a hairy one. Have they ever connected to, going off a little bit of the, a lot of people say these things could be interdimensional because they see them and then they disappear, kind of like what those lights are that come in and out. I wonder if they're associated in any way. Because if you look at the some of the photos, if they're credible or not, that people have gotten of them, their heads are elongated.
That's true.
So
and
I
also
wonder if...
Yeah, there are also a lot of Native American, because I've been involved with Native Americans since I was quite a young child. So I take everything that they say in terms of their oral tradition as being their history, not stories that were made
exactly.
up, but they're telling their history in poetic form. And they say that Bigfoot and other beings like that are trans-dimensional. They can alter space and time. So that's, if that's what they say, then I believe what they say.
I couldn't agree more. I take it when I listen to a few Native American friends and I hear the history of what they will tell me, I find it so absolutely amazing. And they actually, I believe there's a geneticist out there, which I forget her first name, but I do believe her last name is Meldrum. She claims to have gotten DNA and have seen these beings or entities. Are you aware of
it? Yeah, Melba Ketchum. I was involved with her, but I'm not anymore because she was going to do some DNA testing for us. And she was given actually a large amount of money, and we never got anything from it. We didn't get the money back. We didn't get any results. So I'm not associated with her in any way, shape, form.
Yeah, you know, I kind of heard, I did not know that you were involved in that, but I heard a lot of people were very upset with her in other DNA results, and she had walked off like that as well. That's actually sad for her because... Yeah, that has ruined her credibility, but she's also very quiet when she gives interviews. She doesn't go very in-depth either. So do you find her to be somewhat credible of what she's finding out?
I honestly don't follow any of her work anymore because she, as I said, she was provided with samples. She was given thousands of dollars. We didn't get any results, and we never got a refund.
Wow. Yeah, I would have been pretty upset with that myself. Well, that's good to know because I wouldn't want to be associated or watch any of her work anymore because to me that was absolutely wrong. But yeah, now I know when some Native Americans will claim, now has Lloyd Pye, did he find any evidence to them at all, do you know?
Evidence of he was really focused on the Star Child for I think about 10 years. His work on Sasquatch and stuff came before that. And unfortunately,
yeah, that's when I was following it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did astonishing work in that as well because you know just it's you know it's. I piece together, when I look at their heads and the pictures of people who have caught them, you know, their heads are elongated. And then you find in these elongated skulls, but they're redheaded and they're more human-featured. They're not. Now, has anybody tried to clay model the face of any of these elongated skulls? Do you have an idea
of
what they look like?
We have a great artist called Marcia Moore who lives in Florida, and she does 3D modeling for us. She's done a lot of that, and she does not only photos, but she also does like 3D animations of them. And over time, we're getting closer and closer to what we think these people look like, and they look like a cross between Native American and Egyptian and Middle Eastern.
Really? So, but have you put the blonde hair, red haired on them?
Yeah, sometimes. Right now, what she's trying to do is just get the shape of the head and the skin tone and the muscle build up and stuff like that. But she's refining her work, and she's very open to me sending her photos of skulls, and then she'll 3D model them. So it's an educational process for both her and me.
Yeah, that's got to be astonishing to open up and see the skull come to life of who these people were. Has she done any female versions of them? Do you know if they somewhat or can resemble Nefertiti in any way?
The latest one does look like Nefertiti.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm so excited, Brian. I need to see this migratory path. You know, a lot of people have the concept of who the Egyptians were and what they looked like and, you know, And you're just breaking the barriers, saying, no, you know, there's a race here. And then you have the Zoroastrian tribes that are blonde-haired, blue-eyed, that claim to have been there, and they stay amongst themselves. They don't come outside, you know, their own people. And there's just so many connections that you can make. Like, I would want to just travel everywhere, like, see everything and know everything. Have you ever thought, the Sasquatch head itself looks elongated? I've got these elongated skulls. I wonder if now, let's say the Sasquatch itself is an interdimensional being, what kind of brain capacity did these elongated skull people have? And were they able to fluctuate dimensional time themselves? I mean, just the brain scanning alone of, I couldn't even imagine. We only use a small portion of our brain. Can you imagine if we used 100% of it?
That's true. Yeah, some of them are 25% more cranial volume or brain volume than us.
Yeah, but the other 5%, it's like I give anything to bring one back to life, meet it, speak to it, you know? It's got to be magic. It's got to be such a humbling experience. I mean, what you're doing, Brian, is absolutely awesome. I envy you. It's so rich. Like, there's nothing more fascinating and awesome than the work that you're doing. And then, the people that you're connecting with that are going along with this. I mean, this has got to be a journey that I wouldn't trade for the world.
Yeah, I won't.
No, yeah, it's amazing. Have you ever thought about setting up any type of camera equipment over by that door and watching it?
I guess I would if I lived in the area, but it's a pretty remote location. Hopefully, someone else will do that and share the information with us.
Now, do you know if in Lake Titicaca, do you know how they were pulling out, gold from out there where a lot of people had dropped it in the water? Is there a story of why they did that, why it was found, all this was found in Lake Titicaca itself?
Well, Lake Titicaca is an area very rich in ancient tradition and mystery and anomalies. There's a lot of UFO activity that happens there, so it's a big lake too. It's over 120 miles long, so it's
wow.
I enjoy visiting. There are many more mysteries to unravel there over the course of time.
Oh well, I'm sure you're going to get to them.
Thank you.
I'm sure you're going to get to them. Peru is so magical. You've got all that to explore. Now I did see an article that you wrote about an area which was magnetic. You know that they have what is that called? The area in which it's really magnetic, the stone structures themselves.
Oh, Puma Punku.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, have they found any elongated skulls over by there?
A lot.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. Hundreds of them.
Wow. Absolutely, absolutely astonishing. So now have they uncovered now what area? Now I don't know if it was Peru, but what isn't there a certain area that was intentionally buried, and a sandstorm itself uncovered a certain area, and underneath there's a totem that have different depictions on them. Do you know of that area?
No, you might be referring to Göbekli Tepe, which is in Turkey, but
yes,
a lot, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Now, have you been able to make it over there?
No. Turkey has become too unstable right now, so We were supposed to go last year, but there are too many bombings going on, so we'll have to wait.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Now, where can people get this? You know, can people still sign up for your tour? And how many times a year do you go ahead and do this tour itself?
We do different ones. Sometimes we do it with just two people, sometimes 35. Everything about me is on my website, hiddeninkatours.com. 860 YouTube videos and all sorts of stuff.
That's absolutely amazing. Now, have you came across any new up until recently, any more of the newer elongated skulls?
We're finding them in different locations. The most recent ones would be those near Lake Titicaca, but there's a lot of area here to explore for that. So it's an ongoing investigation.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Now, do you know if anything was found out in Ethiopia itself, out in Africa, where they're found not the cradle head boarding, but the skulls that are completely different than the cradle head boarding?
There are people called the Mangbetu who live in the Congo of Africa. They say that they originally came from Sudan, and that their ancestors were from Egypt, so that's a connection there, possibly.
Wow. That's absolutely amazing. And I'm looking, on your page, it says, off to explore the ancient cemeteries near Caracas, Peru, and I'm seeing a picture of the skeletons all gathered together. Now were these elongated skulls themselves, or were these just normal skulls?
That area is an area with normal skulls, but the cemetery is actually 6 miles long, so there are special places where the royal noble elongated skull people were buried.
Oh wow, yeah. Now I noticed. You know what they do call it the over in I totally want to see Lake Titicaca, Brian, so bad. Like, I want to see this devil's doorway. Isn't there a place in Peru where the rocks actually look like sculptures, and they call it something else, too, to get something of the gods, or is there stones that actually look like sculptures all throughout it?
Yeah, it's called Marcahuasi, and it's on top of a mountain. I've been there, and I'm not really that impressed with it. I think most of them are natural shapes.
Really? Okay, yeah. Because I thought it was something absolutely I thought it was something different. I was wondering if that place is actually magnetic. Now, do you know if all these sacred sites that are in Peru, are they on ley lines themselves, like all the major sacred sites?
Yeah, most of them are.
Interesting. Wow. Now, the Devil's Doorway itself, that they call it, that itself is magnetic as well?
Yeah.
That is so interesting. Wow. Now, have you talked to any of the Paracas people about, you know, do they have any stories that were passed down to them, kind of like the Native Americans do, about who these people could have been or who they were, and do they have stories of giants? I mean, do they have, you know, are you finding similarities or connections to how the Native Americans spoke about, you know, certain beings in the past?
No, the sad thing about the coast of Peru is that when the Spanish arrived in the 16th century, they basically worked the native people of the coast to death, or they died from disease. So there is nobody living on the coast of Peru who whose ancestry goes back very far. These are all people from the Highlands, so there are no stories that anyone knows about.
Now, have you found any connections to the Phoenicians themselves?
It's possible.
Were kind of a mystery. Yeah. See, I'm like brain boggling because this is like the stuff that I love. Now, obviously, you've been to a lot of the pyramids in Mexico and in other places. You've seen. Do you know? Have you explored them to see if there is anything underneath these pyramids themselves? Tunneling.
It depends where you go. At Teotihuacan, which is outside of Mexico City, they recently found a big pool of mercury underneath one of the temples and tunnels and causeways and stuff like that. They have no idea what the function was, but that's a recent finding.
Wow. And wasn't one of the ancient kings in China or an Asian king buried with tunnels of mercury around it as well?
I've heard something about that. I don't know too much about that.
Yeah, that's absolutely astonishing that they would be buried with that. I wonder, why mercury. Now, was it in a lake form, like a pool form, kind of how, I know Egypt, through many tours, there's a lot of talks where I don't know how true that story is, where, I don't believe he was an explorer, but somebody had come into a tunnel area, and they found a way in, and it's pretty deeper than the Egyptian government is saying, and then they came in and they closed that area off. It just seems that Egypt, and it's such a shame because I think a lot of connections to what you're doing can be found in Egypt, and they're just not allowing it or releasing it. Have you heard any stories, about anything like the Hall of Records being found there? Or it seems like Egypt seems to be,
Yeah, I've been in the tunnels under the Giza Plateau.
Now, are they similar to any other pyramidal, the tunnels under other pyramidal structures?
No, the ones in Egypt are way more complicated.
Wow. Absolutely astonishing. It's amazing. Now, I wanted to ask you, have you heard of the area in Russia? There are these spherical ball-type things, but they're extremely radioactive, and nobody knows how they got there or why that is, why nothing grows around these balls. I don't know if you were able to investigate that, because that seems like some type of technology that the locals claim these things open up once in a while. It kind of looks like cauldrons in a way. I don't know if you've heard of that or researched that area in Russia.
No, I've never actually been to Russia, and I don't comment on places I've never visited.
So what's your newest work that you're doing right now that we can look forward to and follow?
Oh, it's just basically ongoing, the DNA testing of the Paracas. We're going to Egypt we go to Egypt every spring, so we're going in March next year. We'll be going to Pumapunku and Cusco and Machu Picchu a few times over the next 2 months. So I'm working on two books right now and lots of videos and stuff. So every day's full.
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait to start releasing them. I'm definitely following along there. Where can now what What is the tour? Now, do you still have open spots for the tour in case anybody wants to jump on this tour? And how do they, you know, contact you and to go? And when is this tour taking place?
We have one in November, but it's full. So I recommend that people come on our Egypt trip, which is in March, and we get access to places that other tour groups don't get access to.
Okay, so when is the Egypt tour?
That's in March of 2017.
March of 2017. That's something that I would totally love to do, Brian.
Yeah, it's well worth it.
Yeah. You might see me on that tour because that I would love to go and explore. I would definitely like to go into these. Well, this has been absolutely amazing. I'm just going through the page of an Inca woman with the red or reddish brown hair and her textiles. I'm looking at the textiles now. And is that patchwork I see, or was it not done in patchwork? Is that just the coloring of what she's blanketed with?
Yeah, it's embroidery over. Actually, it is patchwork.
It is patchwork.
Yeah.
Now, was that a royal mummy there?
Yep.
Absolutely astonishing. And where was she found?
Oh, I'm not sure which picture it is that you're looking at.
She looks like she has a hat on. She's got red hair. She's embodied in this beautiful blanket, but it looks patchwork. It's an Inca woman, and she looks completely different than what the Incas would look today.
Very much so.
Oh yeah. She looks like she has very long legs, too, which, you know, the Inca people are rather short in stature.
They are now, yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing the work you're doing, Brian. You're so lucky. Absolutely,
thank you.
Absolutely amazing. It's a dream. Now, I wanted to ask you, in Puma Punku, do you know how... when they cut the stones and they look like they're in H's themselves.
Mm-hmm.
How precise are these cuts?
They're 21st century.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you know what? It was absolutely, absolutely amazing having you on tonight. And it was an
honor. My pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah, and thank you for coming on my show, and I wish you absolutely and all the best, and I'm going to look into this Egypt tour because it's something that I need to do.
Yeah, you should. This is the best tour company in the world because they live there. They live across the street from the Sphinx.
Oh, nice. Absolutely nice. Awesome. Thank you, Brian, for coming on. It was an honor having you come on, and I'm going to be definitely keeping up with the DNA elongated skulls. I'm also going to repost the show so everybody can have access to it. And thank you very much for coming on here, and it was an honor, honestly, beyond an
honor.
Thank
you. Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you so very much, and this was an amazing interview. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you have a great day.
Okay.
All right. So, Ty, what did you think of that?
Wow, that's really good. That was pretty interesting. A lot of things came into my mind when I was listening to him talk.
Yeah, I mean, how can you piece together these goals that are coming back half human, half not, this small 5% that are not due to cradle headboarding.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, and all the he's like the Indiana Jones anarchist.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. He told academia pretty much, you know, goodbye. I'm going my own way because I don't believe what you're telling me.
Right.
Like not even, he didn't care to go down the academia road because, you know, he followed himself. He was not going to follow others. I mean,
That's just the way it goes if you really want to know about something or research it in such a way, you can't really follow some kind of weird structure when you're trying to really get into different different things, you know.
Yeah, I was getting nervous because that you know, we have Brian Forrester on and he's like the it guy right now. Like, that's where, you know, these skulls are being found, and he's breaking it through, unlike the USSA, who's been hiding them. You know, and Egypt themselves have been keeping a hush-hush.
Well, they have a lot of stuff, kept away, for sure. Nobody knows what it is.
Yeah, and you can piece these people all the way down to the empires, even in the Mahabharata, who they were. So, I mean, this is what he's doing is he's breaking through so many ancient texts and cultures and, showing people, okay, what you're finding too crazy to believe in these texts, guess what I've got here, and guess what their DNA results are. And people are just so mind-boggled, like, can I believe this or can I not? You know, and then to find out these are red-haired people. And then if you go into certain aspects of different countries, from Syria to Iraq, you have the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and you have red-haired people out there who claim to have been there before the Persian Empire came in and slaughtered them, you know?
Yeah. Were giants known to have red hair also, or? Yeah, right?
Yeah,
Because I think, some giants that were found in Lovelock? I forget this place. It's in Nevada. And they're pretty much giants are, I guess, about 9 feet tall, 8 feet tall, and they have, I think, red hair also. And I think this is kind of kept hidden. But I think you can look this up. I was just mentioning it because I just was recently heard something about this too, you know. So, yeah, that's... Yeah, and that's it found in Nevada. That's right here in this country. So that's really interesting. I mean, it's not too far off.
Yeah, like, what did you know, what he was doing and what he was, you know, investigating and having. And I find it astonishing. I think I need to go to Egypt.
That's really... That's good stuff. I mean, he's an archaeologist. That's, like, for sure what he's going to go do and try to research it and figure out what it is, look into the DNA, you know. I think that's great. I think that's kind of fascinating.
Well, not even that. Cool is, like, how can you explain a skull that has more palatal plates that have less palatal plates. So no structure can actually, our DNA, the molecular structure cannot be changed. I mean, but the DNA results on them are coming back half human, which is Eastern, you know, Middle Eastern, European.
Yeah, it's like humanoid, basically, or
unknown.
And then
why is it coming up the other half unknown? So people need to start looking outside the box and understanding that the Native Americans are speaking to you. They're telling you there's interdimensional. CERN is telling you there's multiple realities going on. The natives are also telling you there's giants that live under the earth. They're coming out. Bones are being found on. So what people find may be ridiculous and astonishing. Realizing facts.
Yeah.
So I feel like jumping up and down and being like, yeah, so what? You know, and you know how long I've been talking about this and how many people will, you know, debate me on the fact that it's not true. Show me the evidence. Show me the proof. when they're coming out of Sardinia with, you know, 15-foot skeletons. You know, you have, it's like, there were races here, but I see, I don't leave credence to the whole alien, because I believe whatever's going on around us is very aware about what's going on around us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not even the fact that Brian Forrester is probably one of the, breaking through all the barriers and doing astonishing work in a field that nobody dares touch, because they know exactly what they are, and if they have to smash, it destroys the Darwinian theory, number one. Number two,
it could be just like different humans and stuff like that. Right.
Yeah, and he's an anarchist. How cool is that? You know, he told academia goodbye.
Right. Yeah, also, it was really interesting. I went to school for anthropology a bit, and then I was in physical anthropology and learned a little bit on Darwinism, you know, evolution. And it was really interesting because the teacher I had, like, was kind of open, saying, like, things like, these are just theories, and I think he was kind of breaking the rules and saying they can be, like, different species of, you know, different humanoid species, you know, and they're just, like, extinct. And then, like, it's really, and it's, like, the kind of same thing. Like, we don't even understand what these bones are that people find, you know.
No,
and
then, but also...
And how they correlate with certain stories in the past, too.
Yeah, and also, when you read into the Sumerian text, you know, the Sumerians tell you that the Anunnaki created a race of beings called the Ajiji. They were the first ones, and they rebelled against them because they refused to be slaves. Now, I wonder if that awakening process, the line is through here. Why are we awake? Why do we understand that we're enslaved and other people don't? Are we part of that type of consciousness level? Is it in our DNA where we just like them? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I mean, humans can get easily manipulated in a way. So it's like, I mean, we got to use our, got to really think through stuff and look at.
Yeah.
Like what's the next move, or what's really going on, you know?
Yeah, like, what do you think about that interview we had? I mean, was it not, like, shocking? You know, hearing from the man himself that, you know, these skulls, you know, are coming back, half human, half unknown.
Yeah, it's really interesting. There's another thing I thought about, too, like, when you guys brought up, what's it called, Bigfoot or something like this, right? There's a thing, it's the same thing in the Himalayas. It's called the Yeti, right? And I guess... like, kind of commonly known by people here in the West as the abominable snowman, whatever. But in
if you actually look at the features of it, you have the elongated head is always on them.
Yeah,
and
the elongated. Exactly.
So what is going on with this elongated headset?
Yeah, that's weird. That's the thing I was going to bring up about also the Yeti. The Yeti also has an elongated head, and it's also considered sacred in that area. So it's like in the Himalayas, you know, it's sacred to the Tantric Buddhists and Tantric Hindus there. And so it's like it's really interesting. Like these thoughts were coming in, and there's one place in the Himalayan mountain, I think it's like a Tibetan Buddhist temple. They actually have a Yeti skull in a glass box container. As like a sacred thing, and it's an elongated head.
Yeah, they also have a finger of one too. I believe it's in Tibet. They have a finger of one, and
Oh wow!
Like the thumb. Yeah, so, the thumb thing. The finger. I wonder if these are offshoots of the mythical giants themselves.
This is the other things I think about. They were for sure really big. a little bit more hairy, I guess, for the condition up in the snowy mountains. I don't know. But they also said, it's weird because he brought up that the ancient stories or the people of the culture of that area will say that they're transdimensional beings, like they come in and out also. So, and it's like hard to find them or see them, you know. But they were,
then,
I guess, lucky to have this skull in this one temple.
Yeah, and they're like roaming free, like true anarchists, and we're stuck here on this prison planet with a bunch of indoctrinated slaves who love their slavery. So it's I want to be a part of the other side. I don't want to be over here. Like, how the hell did I get over here? Was I part in a past life of the fallen? Is that why I'm imprisoned over here? Is this Mount Tartarus? Am I being imprisoned?
I guess presently... Well, no, it all depends on you. Like, even in the, there's these stories also in India, but even with humans, like, there's yogic teachings where a person can actually free themselves. You know, there's yogic practices. And what is that, what they're talking about, too, anyways? So I wonder what's the ability of what we can do, and we just haven't probably tried it yet or some. But there's also sayings where we can become light body by working with the five elements and purifying the five elements, and then transform. It looks like you still have a body, but you're completely transformed. It's kind of like transfigured body. So that's kind of like transdimensional situation there. Also, but yeah, it's true what you said. It's like, what is it that we're here? Or are we like trapped here? I don't know, really. It's like, it's also, I think in any level, it kind of depends on us. On this level of this reality and the policies and things and the other reality, you know, basically, the transcendental reality. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So it's all on how I look at it personally. It's like on us to free ourselves in every aspect of living, pretty much. I guess that's why I try to practice. So. Yoga practices, you know, and all these different things.
Yeah.
And experiment.
I find it absolutely astonishing, absolutely amazing. The show came out really cool. Next week, we're actually going to be having Sean Stone, son of film director Oliver Stone. And he's going to be surprising us with something, which I have no idea about, but apparently
he's going to
surprise us.
Oh, nice. So he's coming on the Friday coming up? This next Friday?
Yeah, this Friday coming up.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a surprise. A surprise
hit.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm super stoked over it.
Nice.
So it's going to be very, very cool.
Yeah. He has some
interesting
stuff to share.
Well, we're going to go ahead and end the show.
Okay.
What happened?
He has interesting stuff to share.
Yeah, absolutely. Instead of running to another commercial, I'm just going to go ahead and end the show a little bit early.
Okay.
But I'm going to archive. Yeah, I'm going to have the show archived so everybody who missed it, because we did do it a little bit early so we can accommodate Brian. So it's not really our show talk itself. But yeah, it came out absolutely amazing and awesome. And I'm glad everybody, you know, I hope everybody enjoyed the show. So until next Friday, we will be live again with Sean Stone.
Nice.
Everybody have awesome anarchy, peace, love, and anarchy. I'll see you guys next Friday. With Ty.
See you there.
Yeah.